Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Thursday, the 13th of June, 2019. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I'm still on the road to recovery. I've made it down to B. Arthur levels of resonant voice this morning. With me today, I have two fantastic guests to talk a little bit about the issues of the day. First off, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
I think I would be Rose.
I don't think so. I think you would probably end up being Blanche because all you do is walk around and insist on how young you are. So close. Swing and a miss, though, sweetheart. All right. Also with me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
I don't understand what's happening.
Okay.
Actually, on a related note, I just tweeted the other night that if you think about it, the Golden Girls ate 365 cheesecakes in a year.
That's like probably true.
Every night.
Yeah. That's probably true. That's a lot of cheesecake.
That's such an insight into Andrew's mind. I can't even begin to process that.
All right. Hello and welcome to the Daily Golden Girls Observations Podcast. Andrew and I will be talking about the episode where George Clooney showed up. No, I'm totally kidding.
Wait, what?
We'll talk later, Charlotte. The first thing I wanted to talk about today, we have an overarching theme for everything today, and that's security. Shocker, yay. I know. But the first thing I wanted to talk about was something, Charlotte, that you wrote up about a Google executive saying that Apple sign-in with Apple is a really great option.
Yes, sort of. So it was Mark Risher, who kind of is the guy that leads the single sign-on products at Google. Mm-hmm. And you might have thought he would be really, really cross that Apple has got into his kind of space. Might have sent those kids off his lawn. But no. He said he welcomed them. He said, getting someone out there to reinvigorate the space and to make it clear what this means and what happens is really beneficial. Okay, mm-hmm. Playing nice. Funnily enough, they didn't really like the digs from Craig Federighi and others about, that were obvious jibes at WDC at Google, weren't they?
Yeah.
But anyway, that's what we are. But the most interesting thing he said is he would rather people used sign in with Apple than a password and username. Mm-hmm. So he said, even if they're clicking on our competitor's button when they're logging into sites, that's still way better than typing in a bespoke username and password, or more commonly, a recycled username and password.
And that's the key, is not just, a username and password, but the password you're using is most likely either A, one of those common ones on the list that goes around that people make fun of, even though everybody's on it. Or B, like only you're rating your passwords as secure because I only use this one in four other places, which is not secure.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's the most interesting thing about signing with Apple, not just because they won't track you, but because Apple is basically trying to kill the password altogether, because when you use it, you authenticate with your biometrics, whether it's your fingerprint or your face. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a pretty good move.
Yeah. And it is more secure for people who are curious about this. It's way more secure to use a token like that, as long as the token is secure. Again, security always comes down to the weakest link. So that's part of the issue. But any of the sort of sign in with buttons, as long as there's reasonable security behind them, they will always be better than putting in your password, especially if it's something that you know that you carry around in your head because it's the password that you use for everything. Like, that's a terrible security mechanism.
Yeah. Yeah. Use one password. It's better.
Or LastPass or Dashlane or iCloud Keychain or... Like, it matters less what flavor your manager is, as long as you have one. And Apple's been giving you one for ages now, and you should really look into it. In fact, Andrew wrote an article about how you can manage the passwords in iCloud Keychain that I will make sure we link to in the show notes, because if you really are sort of worried about getting started or a little intimidated about the process, like, just start accepting, like, yes, I want to save this in iCloud keychain when you enter things on your phone or on your computer. Yeah, I want to save that in iCloud keychain. And then go kind of look at what they are, and you can manage them with the stuff that, with the steps in the article that Andrew wrote, and start and get started just with some of the easiest ones so that you can see how convenient it is when you don't have to enter that password all the time.
Yeah,
it has dramatically improved my life. Moving to 1Password, that's the one I use. There are, like mm-hmm. you said, there are others that are really, really good. The other thing I wanted to talk about, actually, because you said you made this point, and I think we're probably going to come on to this later with another topic we want to discuss, is kind of how people feel about the companies providing these services. Mm-hmm. So generally people think, yeah, sign on with Apple, biometrics, Apple pretty good on privacy generally as far as we're aware. Great, I'm happy to do that. Google obviously has a slightly different reputation. And Mark Richer was not happy with what he called the innuendo being put around there with those issues at WWDC. But it was interesting. He said he took the blame because he said we haven't really articulated what happens when you press sign in with Google. Now, I'm not 100% convinced that's the issue, but okay.
Well, they probably haven't articulated it, and I have a feeling if they did, it wouldn't be great.
Yeah, I'm not sure that would make a lot of us feel better.
Yeah.
He also, this was an interesting comment he made that I'd like to get your guys' perspective on. He said, a lot of people don't understand, and some competitors have dragged it in the wrong direction. He was talking about, you know, when you sign in with Google or Facebook to a stupid website and it appears everywhere and is a bit embarrassing. That's the kind of thing he was talking about. I wondered what you guys made of that.
Well, for listeners who don't know what we're talking about, the innuendo is basically when Craig said, hey, you have sign in with Facebook and sign in with Google, and it's convenient, but they also track you. And
yeah, I mean, there wasn't much innuendo, was there?
He pretty much said that.
He was kind of quite explicit.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, one thing Google is very good at is security, and I will, you know, I don't like the tracking that they do, but I will totally give the security thing to them. So sign in with Google is still secure as sign in with Apple, at least as far as I know.
Yeah.
I agree with him. Basically, it's still better than, you know, username and password.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I agree with that, but it was the point that it was kind of some other people's fault that people were dubious about it, I thought was interesting.
Mm-hmm. But I'm with you. Like, at the same time, if they did clearly articulate what happens when you use the sign in with Google button, I don't know that I would feel any better about doing it. Right. Especially because I have a password manager and I use long randomly generated passwords. So I have a bunch of other stuff that I'm doing myself as security measures. So my password isn't my cat's name backwards because I'm tricky, right? Like, that's not a thing. So I think that's part of it. But I think that it was kind of funny to hear him like, I didn't appreciate the innuendo. Like, there wasn't any. They said, these companies want you to use it because they want your data and we don't. And we're going to offer you an option so that you don't have to give it to them.
Yeah. I mean, it's not innuendo if it's true. I don't remember reading like what exactly he said from the interview, but I think he said what they said was wrong. We don't actually track you with sign in with Google. I don't know how true that is. So that's basically what it is.
Yeah. And one of the things that sometimes is frustrating about stuff like this is that security really deserves a plain conversation. It shouldn't be secret what you're doing. It shouldn't be secret how you do it. Because if you can make those things public, it's easier to trust. You know, it's not easier to hack. It's just easier to believe in, like, I know how all of this works, so I know that this is keeping me safe in some way. And it's hard when you're trying to have a conversation about security or people trying to drag you into a conversation about security. And there's a lot of vague statements and wishy-washy talking and, you know, saying a lot of stuff that's open to interpretation a bunch of different ways. like, it's really hard sometimes to have that frank conversation. And like with security, that's one of the most important places it has to happen.
Yeah.
So, hello and welcome to Security at Mac Observer. because the other thing we have to talk about is, I'm going to present this the way Charlotte presented it this morning. I hope y'all are sitting down. I hope you're prepared. There's a lot of information to take in. But Telegram, the app Telegram, has come out and said China was behind a huge cyber attack during protests in Hong Kong in order to try to keep the protests from happening. They were attacking Telegram to sort of keep the people down. Right, Charlotte? And I know that's going to be a lot to take. It's going to be overwhelming for a lot of people to understand. Yeah, but
it is an amazing thought that China would have used a massive cyber attack to try and disturb
quash rebellion.
Civil disobedience. But anyway, yes, so Telegram is a kind of encrypted chat app for people who don't use it. And it appears that some of the protests taking place in Hong Kong recently were coordinated. That was one of the platforms people used to coordinate it, which is, makes sense. And then the CEO of the company and the guy that founded it, a guy called Pavel Durev, put out a lot of range of tweets accusing China of trying to instigate a massive cyber attack against the company.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, it throws up a lot of questions, doesn't it? One, we all think this stuff, you know, there's a number of encrypted messaging services that purport to be encrypted that, you know, we all use WhatsApp day in, day out, and iMessage and things like that. And, you know, we have to take it on trust that that is well encrypted and safe and so on. Mm-hmm. But, of course, if there's something protected, people want to break that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Andrew, I know that you've written about, like, WhatsApp and Telegram and Signal and things. So what was your take on this?
Yeah, definitely interesting. I've never used Telegram. I've used, iMessage, Signal. That's probably mm-hmm. the two biggest ones, Signal mm-hmm. and Telegram. And as we were talking about earlier, most people that I've heard of, they recommend using Signal because I don't think Telegram, like, they use their own encryption. They don't make it publicly available. So, you know, we have no idea if it's gone through auditing or testing.
Right.
Penetration testing, whereas Signal is.
And with Telegram, you're not using anything encrypted or secure unless you turn it on, I think, is the other piece of that. So they're using their own encryption algorithms, which have not been peer-reviewed or published anywhere that I know of. Signal uses known open protocols in order to do all of that sort of encryption, and everything in Signal is encrypted by default. So that's part
of
the...
What I'd like to see for this type of thing, specifically protests, is some type of peer-to-peer networking sort of thing where it doesn't rely on a centralized server. Mm-hmm. And I think this would make it more immune to DDoS attacks. I don't know if there's anything like that right now.
No. Well, part of what I'm interested in on the political side of this, not necessarily on the technological side of this, is what the protesters use as their next move. Because what happened in, I believe it was in Egypt, when they were having all of their protests and the government started cracking down on internet usage, they all started using dating sites and coded messages on dating sites in order to organize everything. So
that's interesting.
Talk about the internet being able to route around damage, right? So,
well,
like,
you won't be able to use Grindr because apparently some Chinese company acquired that.
Oh, well, so much for Grindr.
But
yeah, rest in peace. But like, I think they were saying like Tinder and one of the other ones were the ones that were like the primary organization sites. So you would go set up your profile and then you would get messages from people, you know, and those messages were completely coded messages. Like, if it says this, it means, you know, show up at this place at midnight or whatever. And it was pretty interesting to see how that evolved. So on the protester side, I'm very curious what their next move will be in order to organize. Because if the little bit that I've read about the unrest in Hong Kong is correct, in that there's very little chance that this is going to be the thing that makes them all stop protesting, then I am very curious to see what they do next to continue to organize and continue to rally people around the cause and continue to protest and bring attention to it. So
the original article does say they've used both Telegram and FireChat, and FireChat is the one that is the peer-to-peer one. So
okay.
That's good.
So there is a good peer-to-peer one out there. So interesting.
I think also, that element of peer-to-peer is really interesting. And I think we've also, you know, WhatsApp, I think, is quite important to talk about because, you know, you turn it on, you start a new thread, and it says this is end-to-end encrypted. Mm-hmm. And people think, oh, that's great. This is a really easy to use thing that I can talk to all my friends on it because we've all got it and I'm safe. And probably you are, but we obviously have to give the big caveat with WhatsApp that it's owned by Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Everything I hear about WhatsApp automatically in my mind has an asterisk because you have to remember that Facebook owns it.
Unfortunately, I think that's right. I'm happy. I really like WhatsApp, but there does appear to be, look, there, like you say, an asterisk. We have no proof. It's never been exposed as yet that there is an issue with WhatsApp encryption, right, and that it's not as secure as we're led to believe. In fact, Facebook say they're trying to bring Messenger and other products they own into the, you know, combine them with WhatsApp, presumably to bring in that end-to-end encryption. Mm-hmm. So that will be really interesting to watch. Mm-hmm. But I think the point asterisk is right. You know, iMessage, again, we're told that that is secure and end-to-end encrypted. Mm-hmm. You assume it is. And then, of course, you know, we're again taking that slightly on trust from Apple, but Apple does have a good privacy reputation.
Right. And Apple also has the advantage that these other companies do not, which is their business model was never predicated on customer data. It never mattered to Apple what you did with that laptop as long as you bought one. Right? Like, they don't care. They don't care what you do with your phone as long as it's Apple's phone. They don't care what you do with your iPad as long as you bought it from Apple. Like, none of that stuff matters. And I think that's the fundamental difference. So when people start lumping Apple into this same conversation, when they're talking about all these companies and all this user data, like, there's a fundamental difference in the way each of these companies approaches it, because it's Facebook's primary model. Facebook is nothing without customer data. If everybody stopped posting to Facebook, there'd be no more Facebook. It'd take about a week.
Correct. And I think that actually brings us kind of nicely back to our first topic as well. Why Google didn't like the innuendos or whatever we want to call it, mm-hmm, from WWDC, because they know what their business model is, right? They know it's user data.
Yes.
They know, even if it is, and they're right to say, more secure to sign in with Google than it is a random password or a username, mm-hmm, it is still suits Google if you're, you know, it knows what websites you're going in. It can track you, we think, through signing with Google.
Well, no,
that's right.
Usually there has to be a modicum of information that goes into that sign in with, because if you go back to that website and you want to be able to sign in with Google again, Google has to have some record of, I know that you used the sign in button for this website.
Sure. Exactly. And I know if you might be still logged in or whatever.
Right.
So I think that point about business model is really important, actually.
Yeah.
Thank you. It's part of the thing that I find frustrating, and to me is sort of a warning sign when people are talking about this kind of stuff. And somebody could be making a completely reasonable argument, and then all of a sudden they start talking about, and Apple is one of the companies, like, no, they're not. Somebody from Apple stood on stage. In fact, it was the CEO who stood on stage and talked about, if you want to use your phone to pay for things, here's how you do it, and here's how much information we keep about you. We don't have it. We don't want it. We don't want to know. We're not judging you. for that late night Walgreens run, right? Like, we don't care. You know, all they care about is that they get the transaction because they scoop off, you know, that fraction of a cent of a transaction or whatever every time it happens. So that's the only part they care about. Like, they don't care so that they can start magically emailing you stuff, right? Like, that's never been their intent. Like, it, I don't know if anyone's ever noticed this, but occasionally, like, you go, like, on your phone, maybe you go load something, like, load up Gmail in a web browser or something, or maybe on your computer, you load up your Gmail in a web browser because you just need to look something up real quick, and you go get it, and you're done, and you'll get an email from Google that says, you're not using Google's apps in order to do this stuff. Like, half an hour later, it just shows up in your inbox. You're not using Google's apps. And that's super duper creepy. And Apple would never do that. I mean, Apple stood on stage and talked about how proud they were that they didn't know anything about anyone's transactions with their credit card data. And I think that's a fundamental difference. And so when people are talking about this stuff, like, that's the kind of thing you have to watch out for. Like, I'm not sure you're as knowledgeable on this topic as you think you are if you're telling me that Apple's doing the same thing as all these other companies. Because just like just like Google, you know, if everybody walked away from Google tomorrow, closed their email account, their Gmail accounts, stopped using the search engine, all that kind of stuff, you know, and everybody signed out and walked away.
Let's put in at this point that Google is the default search engine on iPhone, isn't it?
And yes, it is.
Is it on Safari in general, really?
On Safari, it's the default. Yeah, you can change it. But yes.
Of course, any Apple device is the default.
Yes. But you can change it. And if everybody walked away from Google, it would take a little longer because Google owns other stuff, and, like, you know, YouTube and all those kinds of things. But drawing that line on walking away means it's much harder for them to be a profitable company. Just like if everybody walked away from Facebook, there seriously wouldn't be any more Facebook because, you know, they're not going to be the size and magnitude of company they are just with Instagram and WhatsApp. That's not a thing. So customer data is super duper important to them, and if that supply dried up, the companies would dry up. There's, you know, there's very little to continue that. So I think it will be very interesting to see how this shakes out overall. And in the meantime, go change a password. It doesn't matter which one. Pick one, go change it. Maybe two if you get on a streak. But definitely change them up once in a while. And part of the reason for that, you don't have to do it every day, but you should do it occasionally, because when Andrew inevitably comes back and talks to us about the latest data breach, because that's what Andrew does, what we will end up talking about is if you have changed your password, you know, that's usually old data. Like, if you logged in the, you know, 6 months ago, that's the information that they have. And if you go change your passwords occasionally, then you may not be subject to that breach at all anymore, because you've changed your password since that data was exposed. So go change a couple. Honest. And tell us about it. Tell us if you are getting into a password manager, if you have questions about dipping your toe into the password manager pool, if you want to know why we think it's a bad idea that the back of your address book is not the best place to be your password manager, please let us know. You can get a hold of us at observations@macobserver.com. You can add us at TMO Daily on Twitter, and you can leave comments in the show notes. I would like to thank both of you for being here today. Andrew, thanks so much for coming by.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And Charlotte, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me again.
We're going to go explain the Golden Girls to Charlotte. And in the meantime, I will talk to all of you tomorrow. Be excellent to each other.